Summer days get mighty hot in much of our region, and we're far from alone. Heat waves happen more often around the world these days. Geographers and other scientists have some really interesting maps to show, indicating where it gets super hot in the world. And beyond that, a list of ways in which really high heat can kill us. A team led by University of Hawaii Manoa geographer put out a paper called 27 Ways a Heat Wave Can Kill You, Deadly Heat in the Era of Climate Change. That lead author is Camila Mora, who's an associate professor of geography at UH Manoa and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Dr. Mora, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Jeff, for having me.
So you come at this from geography, not medicine or biology. What started the journey for you?
So, I mean, it's a geographical problem, actually, in the sense that there are these events in which people are dying from different places. So for one of the key questions for geography there is to understand why are those places so different from the rest that so many people is dying during those specific heat waves. So that's kind of the motivation from the geography side to understand why is it that those specific places on the planet are leading to so many people dying during these heat waves.
So how much more common are heat waves around the world now than at some point in the past?
Oh, they are actually quite common. The ones that can kill you, they are quite common. It's just that the fact that we just don't know it. We published a paper early this summer showing that today there are 30% of the world's human population exposed to days in which the conditions of temperature and humidity could potentially kill a human being. You know, and the reason why we don't know so much about it is because normally when people die from these events, the causes get confused by a heart attack, when the heart attack initially was triggered by a heat wave. So there is this massive underestimation of the amount of people that is dying during these heat waves. But just to give you a number, for instance, in 2003, there was a heat wave in Europe that killed 70,000 people. In a couple of weeks, just think about it. This is like a September 11 attack every day for two straight weeks. That's the number of people that die in Europe during that heat wave. Now, there was another one in Russia in 2010 that killed 15,000 people. There was one in Chicago in 1995 that killed 800 people. And just like that, on that one paper, we found 800 heat waves, specific places and cities where two or three days of the year were super hot and people die because it just got to be too hot. So going back to your question of how common is this happening, this is actually happening more common than we think.
So do medical authorities from country to country differ in identifying deaths by heat wave, and are they getting to a more common system now?
Yes, unfortunately, it's not so much like that. And the reason being that when a person dies from a heat wave, most often what you get is a heart attack, but there are multiple organs that get damaged in the process, which is what we found on this latest paper. But in any case, it's normally the damage to the organ which becomes the diagnosis for the person dying. So, for instance, if an elderly person dying during a heat wave and you get a heart attack, the reason of the diagnosis is that the person died from a heart attack, but there is this massive lack of pointing out that a heart attack was triggered because it was just too hot. And that is in developed countries. In developing countries, it's even worse because those countries over there just don't have the same standards to make diagnosis of the causes of death to the same degree of quality that you expect on the first world. So in developed countries had that underestimation, you can expect much more in developing countries.
Are there ways to tell a heart attack caused by heat apart from a heart attack not caused by heat?
No, I mean, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, the only difference is if you do a specific assessment of the organs to identify why the organs fail. Other than that, you just noted that the heart stop and that becomes your cause of death. But yeah, physically, it is hard to tell, which is the reason of the underdiagnosis in the first place.
As a result of these heat events that seem to be growing in intensity and frequency, have we learned new ways that people can die from heat?
Yes. In fact, that was the latest paper that we published. When we have published a few papers on this, and we found that there was this massive lack of understanding of how is it that we die during these heat waves. And the reason why that became important for us is because it's creating this optimism bias in the sense that most of the people that is probably listening to this radio right now is thinking this is something that is going to happen to somebody else.
Uh-huh.
However, if we identify that this is something that can happen to anybody, then potentially we start being more careful about it and potentially even fixing the heat waves in the first place. So on this one paper, we decided to investigate how is it that people eventually die during these heat waves, why so many of them, why so many of us. And what we found is that there are 27 ways that you can die during these heat waves, all of them just as terrifying, as crazy as you can imagine.
27 different ways, wow.
Yeah, let me just tell you one, which I found the most intriguing.
Okay.
One of the most common ways for people to die during a heat wave, interestingly enough, are your guts.
Your guts.
Your guts. And this is what happens. Obviously, you get hot, so the human body starts sending blood to the skin to cool down, right? And that's when you start sweating like crazy. Well, that's the body trying to cool down. And basically what it's doing there is sending all of the blood to your skin so that it cools down in the skin and it comes back in cold. By doing so, it deprives other organs of blood. The organ that gets deprived first is the guts, because you don't need the guts at that moment. So the organ, the body realizes that it cut the supply of blood to the guts to cool down, but by doing so, it makes the conditions anoxic in the intestines. Basically, there is no oxygen going to your guts and create these chemical conditions there that eventually break the lining of your guts. Now all of the things that you had in your guts start flowing through your body, and that turns out to be one of the ways in which a heat wave killed you, which I found remarkable.
It's not a really happy subject, I suppose, but we're talking about the 27 ways a heat wave can kill you, which is, in fact, the main title of the paper out by Camila Mora, Associate Professor of Geography at the University of Hawaii, Manoa. It is in the recent American Heart Association journal, Circulation, Cardiovascular Quality and Outcomes. Join us on the exchange with your questions and comments. Have you come close to an event that almost killed you in a very hot situation? We'd like to hear about it. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So you mentioned intestines. So it's actually the lining of the intestines that can be damaged by lack of blood flow, anoxia, the lack of oxygen there?
No, well, that's just one of them, but there are many organs that get impaired just as badly. Obviously, once the intestine breaks, you get all of these things flowing through your body, and now the white cells start fighting the infection that you just got there. So by doing so, it creates this coagulation, and now what you ended up having is clogs around your body that eventually get to your kidneys, your lungs, and they clog these organs, and those are some of the organs that get damaged as a byproduct of the guts breaking. Now, obviously, if it is hot and you go, for instance, for a hike, that triggers another mechanism that is related to your muscles. In that case, the muscle cells break, and they have something that is called myoglobin, which is these massive proteins, and they eventually also get to organs, and they damage mostly the kidneys. That's the reason why when there is a football game and it's pretty hot, normally the referees stop those games because it becomes particularly dangerous for people that is exposed to heat to do a physical exercise, because it triggers this physiological pathway that also can be lethal.
Yowza. Okay. So I want to come back to the organ stuff, because the motion you're talking about where the blood goes to the skin to keep it cool, that's ischemia, is that right?
That's ischemia, yes. Mm-hmm. That's correct. And so basically, when there is lack of oxygen going to some organs, then the physiological process normally is called ischemia. And that happens to multiple organs, not just the guts, but yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that. So when you talk about guts, we're generally talking about intestines, but you got on this list too, I see kidney failure, pancreas damage, liver failure, heart failure, respiratory failure, brain damage.
Well, imagine, okay, now another thing that will happen, though, if the body fails to cool down, is that the body temperature starts going up, and that triggers another mechanism that is called heat cytotoxicity. Think of it as a sunburn. When you come to Hawaii, and you can see that very commonly here, people go out there and they don't put a sunblock, they get these massive sunburns. Well, the same thing happens when inside your body now, the temperature gets too hot inside you, and now you can imagine the peeling of your skin, but now inside of an organ. Right, so you can get the picture of how painful that could be once you start damaging the membranes of multiple organs. They will eventually stop working, many of them, as you point out, some of them.
So cytotoxicity, heat cytotoxicity, is like a sunburn on the organ.
That's correct. That would be a way to describe it, yes.
Wow. So can the organs recover? I mean, you can obviously feel better after a sunburn. You're going to peel and everything, and there's going to be some skin damage, but is there going to be similar damage to an organ if it's been affected by heat cytotoxicity?
Interestingly enough, another thing I just find amazing that people try to look for positive things out of this issue of climate change. because normally what happens, especially in the organs, is that the capacity to regenerate is not as good as other organs like the skin. And so there is something called a harvesting effect. Basically, what happens is that during these heat waves, the people get exposed to the heat, the organs get damaged, but normally the people die days later, weeks later, and sometimes years later as a result of the fact that the organs were damaged to the point in which they don't work normally as good.
All right, so you're registering some concern here that, that people are looking for the optimistic part of this, but you don't see much optimism, and in fact, you really want people to get more concerned about the fact that this happens more often.
I don't want it to be concerned. I want us to fix this problem of climate change. I mean, this is seriously damaging the only one planet that we know that we can live in. You know, like, I mean, this is ridiculous that as a society, we have failed to identify this thing that is damaging the performance of our planet. For me, it's just mind-blowing as a scientist to realize that we have been studying this like nobody's business, and the general public doesn't seem to care. I mean, we elected President Trump to elect us, which, independent of his decisions, now is reversing every action that was taken to fix this problem. So ideally, we want people to start realizing that we need to start taking actions to make this place, this planet, a better place.
So where, I want to ask about the geography part of this, because there's some interesting maps on here that show numbers of deadly heat days per year. What are we looking at in these maps?
So those are the places where the conditions, so on that one paper that we published in May, we analyzed 800 heat waves when people die, and we identified the climatic conditions of those places on those times. And what we found was that there was a combination of temperature and humidity what had made those places so lethal. So when you have the combination of high humidity with high temperature, that's like a death sentence for a lot of people. So now that we knew the conditions that kill people, what we did was to identify those conditions around the world. And the map that you see there are places on the planet where those conditions are already met, where the conditions of high temperature and high humidity already occur today. And if you look at those maps, you realize that mostly tropical areas are the ones that are hammered the most. So you can imagine a tropical coastal area. It's in the tropics, so it's pretty hot. And if it is coastal, that means that it's pretty humid. So those are particularly dangerous places because, again, you have the combination of high temperature with high humidity there.
Dr. Moore, do you see places on the planet becoming unlivable if climate change continues unabated?
There are going to be a few places that are going to be hammered pretty bad. I'm sure that we will adapt to this. I mean, we can live under crazy conditions. You can just go and look in Africa and people living in complete misery there. But I just don't know if that's the quality of life that all of us want to live. I think that we will live. There are many places where we will continue to live, but the conditions are just not going to be that great. I mean, and you just look California as an example. You know, California, there was a massive heat wave. Pretty much the whole summer was a heat wave there, so nobody could dare to go outdoors. The farmers don't have water. Every time that there is a drought, now you get a massive fire, but we still live there. I'm sure that people enjoy those conditions there, but now imagine that thing happening every single year. You can look at the people in Texas there. We were just hammered by a massive hurricane that destroyed pretty much a lot of the Houston. And what we did, we went and fixed it, but I'm sure that in 2-3 years' time, this thing is going to come back and hit us again. So we are very resistant species. That's the only bad thing, fortunately, I think we have, because if we were more concerned about this, we would try to fix this in the first place rather than allowing these conditions to damage the quality of our lives. But I think that we will adapt to it eventually.
Our resilience works against us, you say.
That's right, unfortunately, because, again, it prevents us from fixing those problems. Right now, the people in Texas, they just fix the things, right? And they might just increase the height of the wall so that next time that there is a flood, it's not as damaging, rather than trying to figure out why are these storms getting so strong and let's prevent that from happening in the first place. So, again, I exactly agree with the point that you just made there.
So give us a sense, though, of when we're talking about one of the things that people don't get terribly concerned about is, like, well, it's only 1 degree Celsius or it's only 2 degrees Celsius, but how great a change does that make in the planet?
Oh, no, that's massive. I mean, for scientific standards, there is something that we have studied quite a lot. I mean, it's called mass extinction events. You know, and those are extinction events in the history of our planet in the last 500 million years, where over 70% of the species went extinct, right? And one of those was the famous meteorite that wiped out the dinosaurs. That was a mass extinction event. Now, but if you look at the last four, the prior four to those, many of those extinction events were related to changes in the climate. Normally, were volcanoes that triggered these massive emissions of CO2 and made the planet super hot and eventually super cold, and nobody was able to survive those conditions there. And we know that during those times, the planet was hot by about 3 or 4 degrees hotter than what it was at the time. So now we are talking that with this climate change that we are putting in our planet, we are expecting to heat up the planet by up to 5 degrees if we don't take action. And if we fix climate change right now, we are going to allow the planet to warm up by about 1 more degree. Right? So imagine all of the things that had already happened since the 80s when we had very good records for, and that's with only 1 degree of warming. Now imagine what it will be to add on top of that 1 degree more if we fix the problem. Now, if we don't fix it, it's going to be 5 degrees more. So yeah, there you have it.
The response I hear from people who challenge the science on climate change is that just what you talked about, though, that the climate has changed in the past without human involvement. Have you ruled out in your mind everything else that could be a cause besides human involvement?
We are 95% certain because, unfortunately, this is no mathematics, and there might be several things that can go wrong, so I admit that. But right now, we are 95% certain that this is caused by humans. We have ruled out pretty much every single other possibility that can make this heating of the planet to happen. So now, this is like this is the analogy that I give. I don't know why the people give so much trouble to the scientists, though. You get sick, you go to the doctor, and you had a fever. Right, and the doctor asks you what is your problem. You say, no, I had a fever, and the doctor says, you know what? Maybe you had a flu. I think that you had a flu. Sometimes the doctor sends you home with just a pill, and it doesn't even make any tests. Now let's compare the analogy here. Now the planet is heating up. We as a scientist are studying this, and we say, okay, this is heating up because we are producing CO2. So people don't believe us. We go and do the analysis, and we found, yes, it is heating up, and the laws of physics are clear that if you put CO2, the planet is going to heat up. So we have done our homework as a scientist to make the case that this is heating up because we humans are doing it.
All right. The paper is called 27 Ways a Heat Wave Can Kill You, Deadly Heat in the Era of Climate Change. It is the work of Camilo Mora from the University of Hawaii, Manoa, where he's an associate professor of geography, and three other authors as well. Dr. Mora, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you very much, Jeff, for having me.
All right. Take care.